brought him with me. He's been with me all week. Been with me ever since I've been born. But when he saved me, he come inside and to live in me. Amen. In the Old Testament, they never experienced the presence of God in their life. They experienced the presence of God on their life, but they never experienced the presence of God in their life. Can I say to you, it's one thing for God to be around you and on you, but it's something totally different when he comes inside of you. Man, I'm telling you what, he'll do something in your life. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading this morning in the Scripture. I want to preach just a thought this morning, be very brief. I'm only going to preach on a verse that has 23 words in it. It has 23 words in this text that I'm going to read this morning. But it's got three major promises that's found in this text. Three major promises that's found in this text. I will discuss all three, but I'll only preach on one. Because one of them is what changes things and does all kind of things in your life. All three will. But when you get a hold of this, one of these, it'll just do something for you. Well, ain't you glad to be here? Ain't you glad to be saved? Born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Ain't you glad you can cut up at church and it ain't all stiff-necked? Come on. Amen. Well, I wouldn't fit in that church. Amen. Yeah. I'll never forget, Brother J.D., I said, boy, I'll be glad when God started giving babies right here. We had about 30-something at one time. And we was hung up right in the middle of that. I'm talking about some writer come along. We got in on this. Babies are good. But I called my mama the other night, had her on FaceTime, about 9 o'clock. Mama said, oh. And I said, put that phone where I can see your smiley face. Sawyer, you'll get this. Sawyer Gunner, you get this. You know what FaceTime is. I said, pull that phone down so I can see your face. She pulled that phone down there and I said, man, you getting old. She said, look in the mirror, big boy. Ain't you glad you got a mama like that? I ask you to stay. Hey, come on now. We come to have church, amen. We come to have church. It's not doom and gloom, amen. Hey, as I ask you to stand, Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21. 23 words I want to read to you this morning. 23 words that makes the difference in our life. The greatest promise is what I want to preach on. There's 23 words and there are three great promises found in this text. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21. And the Bible says, she shall bring forth a son. There's your first promise. She shall bring forth a son. Hey, listen, you didn't have to have a gender reveal to know she was going to have a boy. The Bible said it, and that's what she is going to have. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hey, there was no discussion. The name's going to be Jesus. And for he shall save his people from their sins. Father, we love you. We thank you. We glorify you. We lift up no other name this morning than the name of Jesus Christ. Father, your word says that he will save his people from their sins. And I thank you this morning that he has saved us from our sin. I thank you this morning that we are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning for the next few moments that you watch over us real good. I pray you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I pray for that one this morning that has come in this room this morning and they're wanting to know about a promise. They're wanting to see what you have for them in the Word this morning. Lord God, I thank you that you saved us from our sin, that you have set the captive free, that you have removed it from our life. Lord, I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I thank you for your people here at this local body. Lord, I pray for great Holy Ghost conviction to fall in this place this morning. I pray we've not come to church, but we've come to worship. You've asked us to come on the first day of the week, of the day of resurrection, the day of remembrance, and the day of rest to lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue. Let me speak, thus saith the Word of God. I thank you for saving me from my sin. I ask it tonight in no other name but the name of Jesus. We ask it. We claim it. Be with Momo Hayes back there. Be with her knees. She's having knee problem. She's having hurting in her knees. I ask you right now this morning, and other believers right now are claiming it in the name of Jesus, that you would touch her knees, that you would heal that pain, that you would set her free from that pain that is in her knees. We claim it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The greatest promise there. He gave us three promises in this scripture this morning. Number one, he said that she shall bring forth a son. She shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus. But I want you to get this morning. That is two promises. That she was going to have a son, a woman that never knew a man. I'm talking about a woman that was a virgin, that never knew a man, that Jesus Christ was going to come, and he was going to be birthed inside of her, into her womb. He was going to come. He was going to be planted there, and he was going to be born, and he was going to take care of our sins on the cross of Calvary. You say, preacher, what does that do for me? When the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Jesus, a great promise was announced to the whole world. These gifts that we got this morning, they're good, Brother Les, and they're great, Sister Christian. Y'all done a fine job. Brother JD done a remarkable when he stood up and said, thank y'all for blessing us and our families. But listen to me this morning, them gifts are going to wear out. They're going to get old. They're going to get outdated. That same old coat that I just got right now, it's the style, but there'll come a day that it won't be the style. There'll come a day that rider will be too big to ride that present, and it'll be gifted to somebody else. It'll be took on down the road. But I want you to listen this morning. I'm talking about a gift this morning, and his name is Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, he'll never get old. He'll never get outdated. He'll never wear out, give out, or give up. He stands the test of time. The Bible says Jesus shall save his people from their sin. And Jesus is the only person that can save us from our sin. And when, as I read that and I understood that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I thought about when he saved me from my sin. I thought about that day that he washed my sin away. I thought about that day that he hung on an old rugged cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think about that day when he hung on the cross and that old thief said, Father, into thy hands. And Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. I think about that thief that said, remember me today in paradise. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I thought about how he washed his sin away. I thought about how he does that in our life. I thought about how the Son of God has all this power to take care of sin. And you say, preacher, what does he do with our sin? What does he do with that sin that's in our life? What does he do with it? Friends, I want you to know he takes care of that sin. Can I get an amen? It don't no longer persist in your life. I want to give you this, a few things that he does with our sin. Number one, he takes our sin away. He takes our sin away. The Bible says in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God. When he looked up, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he said, it's that priceless Lamb. It's that perfect Lamb. It's that Lamb that ain't got a spot. Brother Aaron Carew, Sister Molly, like that little baby in your arms. Right now that baby doesn't, you think, have a spot or a blemish. Hey, can I say, when Mary held Jesus, he didn't have a spot or a blemish. He said, look at this. It's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When he came, the perfect Lamb came, that it would take away our sin. He takes our sin away. When he said that Jesus Christ come on the scene, he came to take our sin away. Oh, but can I say to you, in John 1:29, not only does he take our sin away, but in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5, if you'll turn with me there this morning, I want to show you, he doesn't only take our sin away, but he washes our sin away. Ain't you thankful this morning that he doesn't only take it, but he washes it away? Man, I'm excited this morning to tell you that there was a day in my life that he washed my sin away. He not only took that burden of sin, he not only took that guilt of sin, but he washed it away. In Revelation 1 and verse number 5 this morning, I want you to get this. He doesn't only take our sin away, but he washes our sin away. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Hey, can I say to you, he's faithful in what he does. He's faithful in who he calls. He's faithful when he washes. He's faithful when he cleanses. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us. Hey, this morning I want you to know when he washed your sins away, he done that because he loved you. But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus, he died for us. The Bible said that he loved us and he washed us. I thank God this morning he didn't only love me, Brother JD. Hey, but he washed me. He knew how filthy I was and undone. And he came down from glory, born of a virgin, died on an old rugged cross, rose again on the third day. That one day on August the 27th, 2007, he might reach down over there in Detroit and save an old boy that was wrapped up in sins and didn't know what to do or where to go. And he reached down, took hell out of him and put heaven in him. Hey, can I get an amen? He took hell slap out of him and put heaven down in him. Woo, glory. You said, preacher, I ain't never had that done. Listen to me. You'll get excited when you understand he took hell out of you and put heaven in. Man, it just does something for me. I can't get over it. Don't want to get over it. Amen. He said he loved us and he washed us from our sins. He loved us and he washed us from our sin in his own blood. In his own blood. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I don't understand how Jonah got swallowed by a whale and was spit out and was still alive, but I believe it. I don't understand a lot of things. And one thing I don't understand, but I believe it, Brother Shea Taylor, so much, is that Jesus can take all my sin and put it into his blood, into that crimson blood. He can take that old black sin, as black as it was, and how nasty as it is. He can put it into that crimson blood, and he can come out and it can be whiter than wool, or whiter than snow. How he can take a sinner that's bound up this morning, and you don't know where to go or what to do, and he can take care of you in a mighty way. Hey, am I talking to anybody this morning? He's bought you back. He took your sin and he's not only forgave you, but he washed you. Hey, this morning I went into my prayer closet before church. Well, glory to God. And I went in there and I closed the door and I cut the light off. And my wife, it wasn't but a little bit, she said, I think I'm losing my mind. Are you in that closet? I said, oh yeah, I'm wrapped up in this closet. She said, we're going to have to go. It's getting close to time. It's getting close to time for church. Hey, friends, I want you to know, hey, this morning it was worth being late if I can stay in the presence of Almighty God. Hey, to get into that prayer room. He said, when you got something on your heart, hey, go into your closet. Hey, close the door. And your Father in secret will reward you. Hey, this morning I want you to know the only way I know how to go in that closet is because he's washed my sin away. And I know if I can get there, Sister Kim, if I can get into that closet and cut that light off and close that door and get to that place in my life, it'll bring me back to that spot when he washed me white as snow. Oh, amen. You said, preacher, are you crazy? Man, I'm crazy about Jesus. Amen. I know what he'll do for you. He says this, he loved us and he washed us in his own blood. Let me give you this morning. Not only did he take our sin away, not only did he wash our sin away, but he remembers them no more. Anybody bring up your sin, you remember this morning. It's the accuser of the brethren. It's not God Almighty. When you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you confess that sin, he takes it away, he washes it away, and he remembers it no more. The Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 17, if you're taking notes this morning, Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 17, here's what God said. He said, in their sins and iniquities or their wrongdoings will I remember no more. When you call on the name of the Lord and you ask him to forgive you, friends, I want you to know he forgives you instantly then. Hey, I want you to know, you may wrong me or I may wrong you, Brother Tony, and you may say you forgive me, but you don't forget. There may be times in your life that old Satan will bring it to your remembrance. Hey, but I got good news this morning. Satan ain't got no control over God. Whoa, glory. You say, what is that, preacher? When you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you and he forgets it. Amen. I see he takes our sin away. I see he washes our sin away. Washes it. Hebrews 10, 17, he remembers them no more. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 43, 25. I'm talking about what he does with our sin this morning. Isaiah 43 and verse number 25. I want to show you this. Not only does he remember them no more, but he blots our sins out. He blots them out this morning. Even though they was on your record, even though they was there, he blots them out of your life. He takes our sin away. He washes our sin away. He remembers them no more, and he blots them out of our life. Look what he said in Isaiah 43 and verse number 25. He says, and you know what? Jesus is the only one that can do that. God is the only one. Nobody else can take care of your sin but God Almighty. You can't take care of your sin. Only God can. Here's what he said in Isaiah 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. You say, preacher, what does he do? He takes your past. He takes your undoneness. He takes all of that. He gives you a great promise. And he says he'll take that sin, he'll blot it out, and he will remember it no more. You said, do you believe that? Yes, I do. I believe that 100%. And he'll take it away. He'll wash it away. He'll remember it no more, and he'll blot that sin out. In Isaiah 43, 25, that's what he says. But in Isaiah 44, 22, he says he covers them like a thick cloud. He covers them like a thick cloud. You know what a thick cloud does on a day when it covers over? It takes all that off of you. That thick cloud that comes over, it holds all that back. Let me give you this in 43, 25. The Bible says that frustrated the tokens of the liars and maketh, let me make sure I'm right. Isaiah 43, 25. Let me back up. Isaiah 43, 25. Here's what he said. What am I going on here? Isaiah 44, 22. Thank you, Brother J.D. Done got sideways up here. He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What did he say, preacher? He said he covers them like a thick cloud. He removes them out of your life. He gets them out of there. What a great promise that is this morning. I want to ask you, are you claiming this promise in your life when you ask God to remove your sin? But I see also not only he does that, but I love this right here. Not only does he cover them, but he casts them. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. I've been told, but I don't know, that you can go north enough that eventually you'll have to start going south again. I don't know that. I've never been that far north. I've been told you can go south. Brother Mike's shaking his head. He's a compass man. He knows that kind of stuff. I've been told you can go south enough, eventually you'll go north. Eventually you'll get there. But I've also been told you can go west all you want, you'll never go east. And you can go east and you'll never go west. You can go as far as you want to that way or as far as you want to that, and you'll never come back to that same coordinates. That's what Jesus has done with your sin. But listen to me, there's some preachers and there's some people want you to believe that sin that's in your life, that sin that you ask God to forgive you for, he's not strong enough to cover it and to get it out of there and to wash it away. Can I say to you this morning that all of us would still be wrapped up in our sins and our shortcomings if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ? She said, the Bible says he shall come and save his people from their sin. The Bible says that he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. What does that do? That gets it away from you and it gets it away from God. He gets it completely gone. Let me show you this in the Bible as far as he cast it, as far as the east is from the west. Let me show you this morning. Psalm 103 and verse number 12, if you will. Psalm 103 and verse number 12. He cast them as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, as so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What did he do that day that you called on him? He removed them as far as the east is from the west. Preacher, what do I do if I get caught back up in sin after I've been born again? Repent and ask him to forgive you of your sin. Simple. Simple. We complicate it. We complicate it. You ain't lost nothing. Get back in it. Pick your head up. Get back in the game. Stay in there. Don't give up. Don't give out. Stay in it. You know what the problem is? A lot of people would rather say this. I'd rather know I was lost and did that than saved and did that. Folks, listen to me. His blood is the same. When you call on his name, he'll forgive you of that sin and he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. I see not only does he cast them away, but he buries them. He buries them sin. He buries them. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that he buries our sin. But we have a problem with it because we try to do it on our own. We try to take what's wrong and make it right and what's right and make it wrong. But you got to take what's right and let it be right and what's wrong, let it be wrong. This morning, Ryder was putting his boots on for church. Brandy couldn't get the boot in. Brother Bradley couldn't get it on. She said, BJ, get in here and help. I said, okay. I walked in there. I didn't look at the boot. It was halfway on his foot. He was hollering, Daddy, it hurts, it hurts. I said, it'll be all right. I took my hand out, popped that boot on that foot. And he started hollering again. I zipped that thing up on the side, and I looked down, and I said, that's the wrong foot. I unzipped that boot, took it off, and took the boot that was supposed to be on the other foot, the boot that I put on the wrong foot. Y'all think I'm crazy. This is how God talks to me. He said, that's where you're at in your life. When it's not going right, it's because you're trying to put it on the wrong foot. Listen, as a child of God, you say, and I have people say this, can I do this and still be saved? A child of God doesn't ask that question. A child of God doesn't ask, can I smoke cigarettes and be okay? A child of God don't ask that. A child of God don't ask, can I put a dip in the corner of my mouth? A child of God don't say, can I have a little social drink? A child of God don't think that way. A child of God says, that's going to defile the body and I'm going to stay away. That's what a child of God does. A child of God says, I'm not going to look at that on my phone. I'm not going to look at that pornography because it won't line up with where God wants me to be. It won't do that. I don't go down that road. I took that boot off, unzipped that boot, took that boot off, went to that other foot, fit just like a glove. And you know what, Brother Tony? He never whined or cried when I put it on the right foot. You know when we whine and cry is when we're trying to put Jesus where he don't belong. And we try to put Jesus in places that he don't fit. Can I say to you, he don't fit in a box. He fits in your heart. He's not looking to go in a box. He's not looking to go on a shelf. He's looking to go in your heart. He said he'll save his people from their sin. And when he saves you from your sin, he buries it. And to bury something means it's gone, it's dead, Brother Kevin, and it's covered up. Let me show you this in the text here. He's buried it, it's gone, and it's covered up. Look what he says in Micah 7:19. He says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He buries them. But not only does he bury them, but I want to give you this. He puts them behind him. He puts them behind him. He puts them behind him. If I put something behind me, guess what? You can't see it, neither can I. He puts them behind him. Isaiah 38:17 says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. To never remember them no more. I'm not here to judge you, beat on you, or anything. I'm here to do one thing, and that's preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. To preach that Jesus Christ will take your sin and he'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. If you are struggling with something this morning, listen to me very clearly. If you're struggling with something this morning, it's because you've not gave it to him. It's not on his end. It's never been about his end. He said, the Bible said that he's come to save his people from their sin. He said, preacher, how did he do that? I want to give you the last point that I have on my heart. Is he didn't only bury them, he only put them behind him. But he nailed them to the cross. He nailed your sin. And he nailed my sin on the cross of Calvary. He said, preacher, are you sure about that? When they strung Jesus to that cross willingly, no man crucified him, by the way. Nobody can take, listen, I don't care what anybody tells you. No man crucified him. He laid his life down. He laid his life down. No man beat him. He allowed them to beat him. No man put a crown of thorns on his head, Brother Tony. He allowed it to be. I'm talking about the God of the universe. They didn't beat him without him letting them. He could have called all these angels down and they'd have took care of him and took charge over his body. But you said, preacher, why did he take them stripes? Why did he put that on his head? Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. He loved you and he loved me. Why did he let them strip him naked and put him on the cross? Why, preacher? Why? Look at you scenes. They'll have him on there covered up. Friend, he wasn't covered up. He hung for you and he hung for me. The shame was on him. He hung on that old rugged cross because of your sin, because of my sin. I can't understand why somebody won't be wrapped up in sin and say they're saved when the Savior got nailed to the cross because of it. This Christmas season is lovely and wonderful. Gifts are wonderful. Trees are beautiful. But don't miss the real reason. Don't miss the real reason. You say, well, why was he born that we could have a Christmas? Oh, no, don't miss that. Sister Kinsey, without the birth, there never would have been a burial. Without the birth, there'd never been a burial. And without the burial and the resurrection, we'd never been bought back. So, preacher, you believe that? I'm betting my eternity on it this morning. He said he nailed it to the cross. Let me share this with you when he nailed it to the cross. And write this down in the margin of your Bible. Right there by Matthew 1. You'll need this. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What was contrary? What was against us? He took it out and he nailed it to the cross. They said years ago at this time, when you got locked up on the back of your door that you couldn't see, you're in here locked up in the cell on the outside of your door, would have a list of the crimes that you've done. Boy, I thought about that, the list of things I've done wrong. The door wouldn't hold it. But the door took care of it. Oh, God. Somebody going to get excited one day in here. You hear me? So many things wrong in my life, Brother Brent. The door couldn't hold it. But the door took care of it. And said the only way you get out is when every one of them offenses that you had was took care of. You stayed till they got took care of. And when they got took care of, what would they do? They'd come by and they'd nail on that piece of paper, tetelestai, which means it's finished. Payments took care of. The prisoner is released. The prisoner is set free. He took my sins and he washed them away, cast them as far as the east is the west. He buried them. He remembers them no more. He took them away because he nailed them to the cross. And that day that I called on his name and he saved me, at that moment, I received that blessing. I received that being born again in my life. Can I say to you this morning, to the baker, he is the living bread. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the builder, he is the sure foundation, the chief cornerstone, and the door. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And to the Christian, he is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. The Bible is very clear about sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He shall save his people from their sin. Said this woman was at home, minding her own business, doing her own work, doing her own thing. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody was invited to come to her home. She was at home doing her own thing. Ain't that how we get? Instead, a man walked up to the door and right there where she was at, and knocked on the door. She come to the door and opened it up, and she said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Yes, ma'am. Do you know God? Has your sins been washed away? Has your sins been took care of on the cross of Calvary? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" So the woman was speechless. She didn't say nothing. And said she didn't say nothing to the man. She just stared at him, and the man said, "Well, ma'am, I'm gonna go." So he turned around, walked away from the door, and she shut the door back, and her husband was at work, worked an 8-hour day, and said the door was closed. Said when he got home, she was just in a turmoil. I'm talking about in a turmoil. Turmoil. The husband come in and said, "What's wrong with you?" Said, "You're not going to believe what's happened today." Said, "What happened?" Said, "I was doing my business like I do around the house, and this man come to my door, come to our door, knocked on our door, and asked me, did I know God? And have my sins been washed away?" He said, "Well, what'd you tell him? Did you not tell him he was a member of the biggest church in town? Did you not tell him the name of our pastor? Did you not tell him that we got a Bible? Did you not tell him?" He said, tears started running down her face. She said, "He didn't ask that. He didn't ask. He didn't ask where I attended church. Can I say to you, I could care less where you attend church. I had a funeral this week, and I told the people at the funeral, I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm worried about your future. There's a lot of places down the road to take care of your feelings. I'm worried about your future. Has your sin been washed away?" I'm asking you that very clearly, very plainly. She said, "Well, why didn't you tell him that?" She said, "He didn't ask that. Said he asked a question that I could not answer. Truthfully, I could." This time of year, he said, "Preacher, this ain't what I want to hear. That's what I know. That's why it come from heaven. If I wanted to preach it, it wouldn't be this." He said, "I didn't know how to answer the question." He said, "Well, I'm mad. I'm going to call him. I'm going to take care of this." She said, "Oh, no. Don't get mad at him. Don't get upset at him. It wasn't him. It wasn't him that asked the question. It was the Holy Spirit that asked the question. This morning, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at the Holy Spirit. If you're wallowing in your sin, it's your own fault. And it's not his. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, preacher, do you believe that this morning? I believe that so wholeheartedly. I believe we have not because we ask not. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man. This morning, I want to ask you a question this morning, lost person. If you're lost in here this morning, what's keeping you from letting God wash your sin away? So, preacher, I don't know. Oh, yeah, you know. Preacher, I don't know. Oh, yeah, you know. Saved person, what's keeping you from walking the way you're supposed to walk and not being entangled in all them sin? He said, preacher, you think a saved person get tied up in sin? I guarantee he or she can. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell that tells you you can't. You can. You can get tangled up in stuff you don't need to be in. So what'll take care of it, preacher? They shall call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so thankful that my sins has been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning when I crawled into my prayer closet before I come here, let me tell you what I did. Before I started praying about anything, I said, Lord, you know. That's honesty. You say a prayer changes everything. Oh, no, it don't. Huh? No, prayer don't change. I know a lot of people that pray, nothing ever gets changed. So, are you sure? I promise you, prayer don't change everything. What changes, preacher? He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Until I get to that place in my life that I humble myself and then pray, I shouldn't expect very much from the Heavenly Father. But I want to say to you this morning, when you get to the place that you humble yourself and you pray, he said, I will hear from heaven. He said, and they turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I will hear their land. There it is. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will hear their land. Can I say his name's Jesus? This morning, if your sins has not been forgiven, it's a perfect morning to get them forgiven. And this morning, if you're saved and you're still bound up in sin, you're so miserable, I promise you. But you can come to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God. He'll take that sin. He'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. He'll remove it. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning. I'd hate to know. But I sure would love this. That the Holy Ghost talking to you. The Holy Ghost moving on you. And he's willing to help you. Father, I do love you and I do thank you. Father, I thank you that your word says that if we humble ourselves and pray. Father, I pray this morning, Father, for your people that's in this room. Lord, I lift them up to you. Father, there's a holy hush right now on this place. Father, there's a holy hush. Not even a baby crying. Father, they ain't even snot. There's nothing. Father, that's the Holy Ghost. Lord, let him have his way in this place. I pray for that one that's bound down that they'll let him have his way in their life. They said, oh, if I go up there and confess that sin before God, people are going to think I got something wrong with me. I wouldn't worry about what people think. I'd worry about what God thinks. On judgment day, none of these folks in this room will stand by them, Father. Only body will stand there is the Son Jesus if they're saved. And he'll be their advocate. But if they're lost, they'll stand before him and he'll be their judge. Bless your people this morning, this Christmas season. I thank you that you take care of our sin. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name.